listening to another Netcast production brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at fancypantsgangsters.com. Because those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet.
Welcome once again to the Welfare Guide to Life, brought to you in part by HopChart.com. I am Dave. With me, as always, is my good friend and co-host, Mr. Evan Peterson.
Wow.
We are at Mozzamia in beautiful Cake Eater.
We're in Cake Eater Country.
Cake Eater Country.
Not to be confused with Bat Country.
No. Very different.
No.
There's more of a chance for a rape in there. But not by much. You never know what the hockey players are out here.
Yeah, it's more of a date rape kind of place.
That's a good point. There's actually roofies
in there. I'm a terrible person.
We really are. Yeah, we're at Mozzamia, which is a fairly new restaurant. It's not brand new, but it is a fairly new restaurant in what would be considered kind of heart of Edina. 50th and France area.
This is fancy Edina.
This is fancy Edina. Yeah,
this is not suburban. This is palatial estate.
It is
Edina. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, this is where the rich go
to get
to
richer.
Buy things.
To get richer. To look richer.
To look richer. Yeah. Exactly.
Where it is definitely Cake Eater Country. We've been here before.
We have, as we.
This was affectionately known as Twin City Stable of Tejas, which was like show 6. Might have been like show 3. It was very, very early on. So we've kind of been here before. We kind of haven't. It changed it up a bit.
A bit, yeah. I mean, I didn't even realize it.
Structure.
Until you mentioned it, and then I looked across the street and I recognized like the theater.
Yeah. Structure is relatively the same as far as layout of the restaurant is concerned. They obviously have new chairs and new digs, but it's similar.
How's it going, fellas?
Very good. Thank you.
Rollicini.
Beautiful.
Am I being recorded?
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
It's all right.
It's all right, unless you're going to prison. No,
you don't have any warrants. Yeah. All right. He cut on quick.
Yeah, he did. So, Mozzamia is known for, they are becoming known for, they're a mozzarella bar,
which is an idea I endorse.
Absolutely. They house make their fresh mozzarella daily. They're a pizza place as well. We'll be going more into that in a little bit once the pizza actually comes. So we started off with the fresh mozzarella, but we got it in a rollatini. We didn't get a straight piece of mozzarella.
No.
The rollatini is a flat piece of mozzarella, and typically it's just stuffed with whatever looks good today.
Something.
Yeah. I've seen stuffed before with basil. I've also seen them with mushrooms. I've seen it with meats.
A lot with herbs, a lot of nuts. I've seen pistachios, things like that. But this is something different. This is something wholly new.
And good. So we got the rollatini, and today's it's stuffed with prosciutto, which we highly endorse. And it's drizzled with a little bit of olive oil. It's on a really good bread.
Uh-huh.
Really good crusty bread. Just a hint of garlic on the bread as well, just kind of rubbed in. That's really good. It's served with some kind of a cannellini bean salad, which is probably all me.
I'll give it a shot. I'm not a big white bean guy.
You're probably not going to be that into this. Oh man, that's good. What do you think?
I'm not a big bean in terms of the texture.
I know,
right? Yeah, I'm just clarifying. It's like, taste wise is fine. I mean, you know, the olive oil they're using is very good. I like the onions that they're using and some of the other non-bean stuff.
It's a nice change. There's a little bit of onion and what looks to be like a red pepper mix in there as well. So it's a nice change in texture.
Yes.
So we're drinking the same thing right now.
We are.
What are we drinking?
We're drinking, in addition to doing the pasta bar, or no, the mozzarella bar, excuse me, they also do a house-made limoncello, which if you don't know, is an Italian lemon liqueur. Roughly, it's syrupy. I think that's kind of the difference, because when I think liqueurs, I don't think syrup. I think, you know, just tiny bottles, which we clearly got. I do like the little bottles with the nice, you know, cork stopper. As I mentioned before the show, it feels like we have a potion.
It does.
A nice little liquor potion.
Limoncello is typically served as an after dinner drink.
Yes.
A digestivo, if you will.
Oh, I will.
But apparently, I've never actually tested this, but it is to aid in the actual digestion of food, all the heavy food you just ate, and kind of cleanse the palate. And and with that kind of cough syrupy texture to it, you can definitely see where that idea is coming from.
Yeah. It is powerful, though. I will give it that. I mean, it's appropriate that you used a cough syrup metaphor.
Yeah.
This is basically like lemon NyQuil. Not as bad. That sounds bad. That sounds worse than I mean.
Yeah.
But I'm just talking, that's kind of the... You take a sip, even a tiny sip, and you get that blast of alcohol and pungentness. I don't know if pungent is the right word, but you know what I mean?
I'm digging the salad, though.
Well, that's good. With the rollatini, I like what they're going for. I think the prosciutto gets kind of lost.
Well, the prosciutto isn't the highlight. The highlight is the house-made.
Well, yeah, but...
Mozzarella. What I would put on there is just a little drizzle of some aged balsamic.
Yeah, that would be fine.
But I'd be afraid that would actually drown out the what prosciutto you do taste. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use this big old piece of basil on mine.
You go right ahead, man. It's your day.
It is my day. Mm-hmm. Really good.
So I had a big moment today.
Did you?
I did. And if you follow our Twitter account, twitter.com/wellfedguidefpg, you know, I did my first food truck of the summer.
Did you?
First food truck of the season today.
Which one did you do?
I'm chewing. Excuse me. I did... Dandelion Kitchen,
okay,
which we mentioned on the show before. They were featured in our Farmer's Market episode.
Yep. Do they remember you?
They kind of, I think she does.
Yeah.
Because I've been there a couple of times. Because the Dandelion Kitchen is right at the base of the IDS Center, which if you're unfamiliar with Minneapolis, it's like one of the big kind of, what we have for skyscrapers.
Well, it's kind of,
one of those.
It's kind of center of Minneapolis, if you think
kinda
about it.
Kind of is, yeah.
You know, everything in... If you're looking for kind of dead center of downtown Minneapolis, that's it. You okay?
I was not prepared for exactly how cough syrupy the limoncello is. It's good, but it's like a kick in the throat.
It is.
Yeah. So, it's been so long since I've had it. I haven't had good strong liquor like that in a long time.
It hits hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
But anyway, go back to Dandelion Kitchen. So, but yeah, they're right at the base, and I work about a block from there. So that's one I hit. Like, I think last summer, I went there at least every other week or so. So It was always nice to see them again.
Are they down there daily?
Pretty much every day. I'm fairly certain they're like that. But that area is really good because you've got that She Royal will do. I haven't seen them out yet, but She Royal had their coffee truck again right at the base of IDS Center.
So are they only doing coffee there, or are they doing?
They're doing food too. They're doing some food, not a huge variety. But you know, you're just a couple blocks from World Kitchen, owned by the guys who do
Saffron.
And then going the other direction, you've got Turkey to Go.
Thank you very much.
There you go. Thank you.
Oh my God, that looks good.
Turkey to Go, which I have not tried yet.
That's the follow-up to the State Fair stand.
Yeah.
You really should try that because
I want to.
That's one of those those meals we haven't had at the fair that we've kind of missed.
Is it like the Renaissance Fair turkey leg?
No, it's a sandwich.
It's a sandwich. Okay.
It is like the apparently I've never had it. Like I've been there 30 years and I've never had it before.
Huh. All right.
So you had an adventure.
So I did. They ran out of their signature ginger lemonade.
Oh.
Actually, the guy I was with took the last one.
That bastard.
I was the nice guy. Let him go first. He was the newbie. He took the last of it, the cocksucker. However, I think I actually went on the deal because she busted out a basil lime soda.
I've had the basil lime.
That is a revelation.
Yeah.
That is one of those things that makes me want to get back into doing sodas again.
Yeah.
You know, because it's such an interesting taste. It's such an interesting combination. You get that kind of lime, that kind of obviously the very citrusy, but also the kind of peppery basil.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. Speaking of basil, do we have any on this thing?
No.
Oh, it's char. Okay. Do you want to explain what we got here?
So they have a wood burning. It looks like clay. A brick, pizza oven. It's a nice thin crust. We did the calabrese, which is a fennel sausage, mozzarella curd, chilies, and Swiss chard. Crust is good.
Mm-hmm.
Sausage is good.
Sausage is excellent. The chard I wasn't expecting to like, but I do.
I know, it's a different flavor than I was really expecting.
Mm-hmm. And the chili is a nice touch, because you get a little bit of heat mixed with the peppery and the sausage.
Mm-hmm.
And just that little bit of bitterness from the chard, it's more savory than you'd even expect a sausage pizza to be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which I give it credit for. But I mean, they got a couple other ones that we didn't want to try, or we did want to try them, but
right.
One of these things I do want to try, their shepherd, which is the lamb sausage, goat milk, feta, pecorino, and green olives. Normally the green olives, a bit of a turn off for me.
The one I wanted to try was the quattro
Stagioni.
Yeah. What's on that one?
That one is artichoke, mushrooms, onion, cotto ham, fontina, and a fresh egg right in the damn center.
Yeah,
if you go to the website, that's what they show.
And they don't have each one of those ingredients on every slice. You have a section that is each one of those individual ingredients.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of fancy.
It's a very attractive looking pizza as well. You know, visually it's appealing.
How are you doing?
Very good.
How are you doing with the limoncello?
I'm good. I mean, they got a couple other basic ones. They've got a one that's just the mozzarella, the tomato sauce, and the basil. They've got a margarita. They've got the salumi, which I was kind of tempted to go for.
Another one with green olive?
No, the salumi is tomato, molinari, fennel, salami, aged provolone, and pepperoni.
Why didn't we get that one?
It's, to me, that's an American pizza.
Yeah.
I want something a little more fancy, maybe. I don't know if it's true or not, but something I can convince myself is more traditional. But one thing I will say, the lack of a sauce on this, it makes the, it's a very crumbly sausage, and it kind of falls apart. You get a sauce that would kind of bind stuff a little better.
A little more cheese, maybe?
Maybe.
But I like that it's just a little bit of curd, man. Mm-hmm. The cheese is not, it's a very well balanced pizza. You know, there's not a whole lot of everything else on the pizza.
Damn, I'm a mess.
You really are. Nothing is making it in your mouth.
I will also give them credit. They do a patate pizza, normally known as a mashed potato pizza. They use Yukon Golds, which I'm always a fan of. And then la casera prosciutto, cremoso cheese, and green onion. Which to me, that's like heaven.
That's loaded baked potato on a pizza.
That's a fucking loaded baked potato. Oh my god. Have you ever had a baked potato pizza?
No, and I really don't ever. We kind of went over this as we were thinking about what to order.
I know, and I like bringing this up. Because you're a fascist.
I'm not a fascist. It's just, to me, the potato is never the highlight. People go gaga over mashed potatoes and baked potatoes, and to me, it's just a plate filler. And to me, it's never been the star of anything. It's never just been the highlight of the meal.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, getting a potato on a pizza just seems a little against my religion.
See, I often say the same thing about pizza crust.
Okay.
Because for me...
Very good.
Good? Very good.
Very good. Thank you.
For me, pizza crust, it's a vehicle. It's there to you know, it's the, what do I want to call it? It's the infrastructure of the food.
The base level, the foundation.
It's the foundation. It provides a vehicle with which other flavors can shine. And I say the same thing about potato. You put potato on a pizza, that almost substitutes for a sauce because it holds everything together. It gives it kind of a kind of a standard flavor level. Like this is what you can expect throughout the slice. And you might get different bits, you know, with each bite, you might get, you know, different things, but there's always that base level. And with three mashed potato pizza, especially when you do something like prosciutto with the green onions, and I mean, you're right, it's a loaded mashed potato, but I think it works. I think it's something where...
I'm not saying I wouldn't eat it.
Yeah.
It's just a little low on the totem pole. You know?
Fair enough. But they do use Yukon Golds, which is like, that's the king of potatoes right there. Anyway, back to Dandelion Kitchen.
Sorry.
It's all right. We might have to get more food. So, got my lime basil. Excellent.
They need a big gulp size of that, though.
Yeah, they only give you one size.
They need a really big size of that.
The problem is, if you got a suitable size of that stuff, it would be like $15.
I would probably pay that. Probably.
Fair enough. But I also had... So they've got it figured out. I think of all of them, I will give them credit. Give Dandelion Kitchen credit. They've figured out how to do a proper downtown lunch.
Okay.
Okay. I love Chef Shack.
Yeah.
Okay. I love it. But to me, tacos, you know, one of the, you know, the big, you know, the things that Shift Shack is known for.
Yeah.
Tacos and powdered donuts. That's finger food, and that's snack food. Okay, especially when you're on the go. Like, to me, tacos are not portable. It could be because my vision of a taco is something where the shell is a bare container for 17 pounds of toppings. This could be just general taco philosophy differences here.
I get where you're going.
Okay.
I'm still with you.
Tacos are a mess.
Yeah.
And they need to sit to properly enjoy a taco.
I agree.
Dandelion Kitchen, that is lunch. Like, I will walk the 6 blocks or whatever it is to Chef Shack and get their powdered donuts and walk back. I'll do that in a heartbeat. That's awesome.
At least you can work off the...
Exactly. But Dandelion Kitchen, I will go there for lunch. They have sandwiches, like proper sandwiches. They have a grilled cheese, which looked fantastic. I had their ham and brie sandwich.
Oh.
Ham and brie with sliced pears and microgreens.
Oh my God.
I blushed. I was so in love with the sandwich.
You were at half staff.
It was awkward because I was eating lunch with a dude.
Did you go from 6 to midnight?
10:30. Something like that. But it was fantastic, and all they do is those sandwiches. They did a roast chicken sandwich, which looked fantastic. It's all in it's sandwich form, it's wrapped.
Well, they do a arepa sometimes, too.
They do? They didn't have that today, or at least they didn't see it.
Which, if you haven't had that before, and that's on the menu, get that.
Yeah.
It's like a pulled chicken arepa. Oh, man, that's
good. Explain what an arepa is for people that don't know.
I want to say it's kind of like... It's kind of pancake-ish.
Okay.
It's kind of the cross between a pancake and a pupusa.
Okay.
It's light, it's airy, but it has some actual substance to it. It's not flimsy like you'd find in a pancake.
Okay.
I almost want to call it a cross between like a croissant and a pancake.
Okay. That makes sense.
Oh, it's good.
Now the question is, do we want anything else?
We're still thinking. We might get more. Right. If you want to get more, get more. But.
I know. I don't want another pizza, though.
If you get the caprese, that'd probably be pretty awesome.
Probably would. You do the bruschetta.
The bruschetta. Which one are you going to get?
I'm looking at that gorgonzola one.
Okay.
I'm just not thinking, I'm not feeling tuna right now.
No. I'll do the ricotta and goat cheese one with two.
I'll do that then.
Okay.
Can we get a single of the ricotta and goat cheese? Thank you. You have that last one? Or?
Go for it if you want.
Surprisingly hungry.
That's actually your piece. So.
Is it? All right, excellent.
But I am going to get the scraps.
That's fine. So I'm excited because the weather's getting good. I can do food trucks again.
Yeah.
There's a ton of new ones. I was reading a story about how there's something like 130 new trucks that have applied for licenses.
Closed circuit to all the food trucks. Centennial Lakes Park. Just saying. We got a lot of parking area. And that's a lot of people working over there. And not a whole lot of options.
That would be a hell of an idea. You get a couple of trucks.
Yeah.
And you just do rotations.
Yeah.
To various industrial parks.
Yeah. Honestly, it's not a bad idea because people would drive over to our area because you'll have all those businesses out. You have Seagate off of 494. You have C.B. Richard Ellis off of 494. You've got Best Buy is over there. You know, you got the Centennial Lakes office park, which is where I work out of. Huge. But that is one thing I'm very jealous of you, and that you have that option.
That's true.
You know, there isn't bad dining options in Edina, and you know, this is...
We are technically in Edina, right?
We are technically, and this is within driving distance. I mean, I could definitely do this at lunch. It's just kind of the opposite direction of where, what's convenient.
Mm-hmm. See, I have this thing with work and lunch, and this could be just because of my work history. You know, going from either retail, where you're lucky if you get a half hour,
yeah,
and then working downtown, where I'm of the opinion that you should not have to drive to lunch. When I am done with my, when I get in my car,
yeah,
that is to go home.
I am of the same ilk. You know, I'll either bring lunch right, nowadays, I'm either bringing lunch or I'm going downstairs to the cafeteria because they've got soups and sandwiches and, you know, pre-made salads and a hot bar and a cold bar and a lot of different options as well. I mean, just basically anything, I mean, deli-style sandwiches. So, I'm of the ilk that if it's possible for me to work through my lunch, then I do that too.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sick and wrong. But I prefer to get more stuff done and you know.
You're such a good corporate drone.
I am probably serving my corporate master, thank you. But I'd rather feel productive than sit somewhere and, you know, have a guy with full hawk.
Cockhammer. The reason why I say that is the guy that seated us, I think he's a male porn star.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this because of experience or any sort of independent observation. He just looks like the type.
We may or may not have seen him in a movie or two. Maybe. We're not admitting or denying.
It was anything I was paying attention to, yeah. So...
The faux hawk was hard to miss.
Yeah. Never understand that. But anyway, what were we talking about?
I don't know.
We were talking about male genitalia.
Cockhammer. I really hope you don't name this week's show.
No, I will not. I will
that
not.
Will get
that.
Us kicked
nothing,
off of.
Nothing associated with either of us should ever be called cockhammer. Yes.
We're not going to be invited back on iTunes anytime.
Probably not. No, I have an oily fork.
Okay.
Anyway, that was random. So how was your Easter? We had Easter this last week.
My Easter was good. I'm at the age now where it's a potluck Easter. So everyone has decided to bring some part of the meal. Which always, to me, as we've become older, is interesting. Because I cook and I buy different things than what my mom does, what my brothers do, what my grandmother, my aunts and uncles do. I'm not saying I'm better than those people, but
you
I am.
You are saying.
That is what I'm saying. Maybe not so much my mom's taste in what she buys.
Yeah.
Because I think in terms of consumerism, that's somewhere we're very similar in that we kind of buy the same brands or types of things.
Yeah.
Or quality of things. More along the lines of, I kind of shop at Lunds and Byerly's. Well, the rest of my family shops at SuperTarget at Walmart.
Yeah.
Now, there's nothing wrong with SuperTarget. Hey, there is something wrong with Walmart.
90% of my groceries come from SuperTarget.
But there is a quality difference between the two, and you can kind of taste it as you go through the meal.
Okay.
So, I was in charge of the potatoes. Ironically, but I did it a ground.
Delicious.
I know. I did it a ground potato. I did it off of a recipe with Yukon Gold potatoes.
This episode brought to you by Yukon Gold.
Exactly.
Taste this bun. That's a terrible marketing.
This is why you should be in charge of marketing.
That's right. Taste this bun. That was terrible. God, I suck.
You apparently have been reading my book.
So yours is taste the something. Never mind.
You know. Watch yourself.
The rainbow. I think that's what that was.
No, that no. really is. So I really worked hard at making this. You know, I have a brand new mandolin that I got probably about 6 months ago that I haven't really used.
Those things terrify me.
They terrify the crap out of me.
It looks like something out of Saw.
Well, not only that, I was using baby Yukon Golds,
okay,
which are tiny to begin with.
Yeah.
There ain't a whole lot to hang on to. Now, I did have one of those kind of protectors, but it only works well with like a tomato or a full-size potato.
Okay.
It don't work well with the small ones, so that was dangerous. So, I went through this elaborate process of making it. I mean, I used cream and I got a good type of Parmesan cheese that was in there as well.
Nice.
And it turned out really well. It's Tyler Ford's recipe.
He's not going to sleep with you.
He's as hot as he is talented.
And I made sure to do that right as that group was walking
by.
Thank
you. Appreciate that.
No problem.
Anyway, that was really good. My grandmother was in charge of the ham, but she always gets like the good honey baked ham.
Oh, I've had your grandmother's ham, and that's not even like a euphemism. Had her ham.
I was like, really? You're gonna go there with that?
No. Okay. I'm clarifying that okay. in a non sexual sense.
All right.
And in no, never mind. No, grandma ham good.
My mom made a.
There's the name of the show right there.
My mom made a bubble and squeak, which is actually a traditional Christmas.
I was going to say, yeah.
It's a Christmas dish.
Explain what the hell Bubble and Squeak is, because that is the least descriptive title for any food.
For lack of a better term, it's an English vegetable casserole. It is, I mean, that's essentially what it is. There's no, you have your cream of mushroom soup binder and some other things in it, but other than that, beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hope you're happy with that. Should have gotten the big one.
Apparently.
Anywho. But all these things are of good quality. And then everything else was like, my aunt and uncle were in charge of the cold salad, which was like, it's that whipped cream salad with mandarin oranges in it.
Oh, I love that.
It was like, the meal kept crescendoing, and then you had that. And it just kind of dipped a little. But the thing that was weird about it, it was that. But then it had the fudge stripe cookies crumbled into it.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, it was a little, it was weird.
No, that was
good. It was good. But it was kind of like, meh. And, my brother my brother was in charge of the bread.
Which brother? You have two.
Mike.
Right, okay. This is the chef.
Who's the chef? Who's in charge of the bread and has made bread before and is a good baker, which is not a skill, with who you live with, that's not a skill easily learned.
No.
And it takes a lot of practice. But they just bought like Cub rolls. I was kind of expecting, some honey oat bread to go with, just something. Something you can make a really good sandwich out of later. And it was just cup rolls, which is fine.
Yeah.
But to me, that was...
Before you bite into that.
Okay.
I just want to catch up. Before you bite into that. We got the bruschetta.
Okay.
Or the bruschetta, whatever.
Bruschetta.
Whatever. And we got ricotta with goat cheese with a plum marmoletta.
Yeah.
Which is essentially like a plum jam.
Plum marmalade, yeah.
Yeah, marmalade. Taste that and tell me that is not the best breakfast you've ever had in your life.
Yeah.
That's pretty wicked.
I'm pretty much going to ask them if they smell it by the jar.
Yeah. I mean, that plum marmalade, I'm not a big plum guy.
Yeah.
I'll destroy a prune pie when necessary, but I'm not a big plum guy. That is fantastic. And that the ricotta and the goat cheese, it's a very creamy, it's very cream cheese consistency. It's a good, it's a heavy, it's heavier than I expected. Like with ricotta, I mean, you're used to it in like lasagnas and stuff like that, where it's a little fluffy. This is not that. This is heavy, this is dense. It's creamy.
That was the perfect end.
It was. And we were both very skeptical when they brought it up. Like, what the hell is this? But that is a fantastic way to end on it.
And perfect dessert. I mean.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I was thinking it was gonna be savory, and I guess I didn't read it closely enough.
Yeah, neither did I. I don't know what I was expecting. I was not expecting that.
Oh, it turned out. That's really good.
Yeah, I'm pretty shocked. And again, the bread, very good. Speaking of bread.
My grandmother makes a plum jam.
Oh yeah.
Totally think of keeping this in mind.
Yeah.
It's ricotta and
goat cheese. And I'm thinking the goat cheese is where it gets the body, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh man.
But if it had been only goat cheese, it would have been too much.
You guys want dessert at all?
I think we just had it.
Yeah,
actually.
Awesome.
So
really
I think
good.
We're good. But no, I think if you'd done one or the other, it wouldn't have worked. You know, because if you'd done only ricotta, it would just been kind of fluff and kind of meh.
Yeah, and the goat cheese would have been just too heavy by itself.
And been too strong. And
that the plum was not sweet.
No.
It was just sweet enough.
Yeah. So at Easter, we did that. I did nothing for Easter. We did literally nothing.
Did you go to a...
No.
Really?
I don't think I left the house on Sunday at all.
No, I feel you could have came over to my uncle's.
No, it had nothing to do with having nowhere to go. Oh. I mean, Heather, my fiance, she's in grad school.
Yeah.
And we're very close to finals time.
Yeah.
So it's basically chain herself to her desk and study
and
prepare for this paper. Well, that's more of a I need something other than schoolwork to do. And you know, if cookies is how you relax, this is something you endorse as the
oh my God,
the,
I'm so excited.
The roommate.
I'm so excited.
We got she IM'd me this morning. And she's like, I think I want to bake tonight. Which is just on the same level as we should have sex tonight. Like that's really what like the level of excitement that I get out of that. It's right up there. Yeah, you know, so it's like, all right, we're baking.
You might actually take bacon over sex. Maybe.
Depends on the day.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. But no, it was just like it's like awesome.
It's go time.
Let's do this. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, what do you want to make? She's like, I'm not really sure. I'm like, what about bread? You haven't made bread in a little while. And she's like, no, it takes a couple hours.
Yeah.
Okay. She's like, what about the Widowmakers?
Okay.
Now, the Widowmakers, that is not what the recipe is called. That is what I dubbed it when she made it. The recipe is Jumbo 3-Chip Cookies. Basically, they are homemade mall cookies.
Yeah, I just went from 6 to midnight.
They're about the size of a saucer.
Yeah.
Like a good-sized saucer. They have semi-sweet milk chocolate and white chocolate chips in them. She has made them with peanut butter chips.
Can you slow this down and talk softer?
No, please. I cannot. Because that would require a level of control that I just don't have. They are fantastic. I called them Widowmakers because now I'm a dude, I'm a guy that can... You put me in front of a box of like caramel delights, and I will eat that in the process of a movie. I will polish that box off.
You mean Samoas?
What'd I say?
Caramel delights.
Same fucking thing.
Well,
it's a regional, yes.
It is a regional thing.
Whatever. Thin Mints would also apply.
There you go.
They're universal. I can destroy. No one likes Tagalongs.
Are you?
I can destroy.
What is wrong with you?
I like good things. I'm sorry.
It's chocolate and peanut butter.
Yeah, it's shitty chocolate and shitty peanut butter over a shitty shortbread cookie. Just because you triple down on the shitty doesn't make it good. It doesn't loop back around. I stand by my statement, regardless. We're talking about how I'm a fat ass here, okay? I can destroy a box of Girl Scout cookies in a sitting. I have never been able to finish more than one of these cookies without needing a nap afterwards.
now I'm scared.
Yeah, it is Thanksgiving dinner in a cookie. It will knock your ass on
I'm scared
on
now.
You're on the ground. Do not have it. Wait till you get home. It's in the car right now. Do not have it on the way home.
You know how good the car's going to smell when we get back to it?
I know.
We brought two cookies along.
You will drive yourself off the road because you will fall asleep.
When I picked you up, you said, perfect timing. I said, as I walked in your door, she's making cookies, isn't she?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yes. And so we loaded up two fresh-baked Widowmakers onto a plate, and they're sitting in the back seat of my car.
Yes.
Thank God we're not recording this live because people would break into my car.
Probably.
And they're waiting there for us.
Yes, it's too bad we couldn't get any direct sunlight. Not that there's much out right now anyway. It's kind of cloudy. But.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be awesome. I'm excited.
I'm not going to be able to wait.
Oh, well, that's fine.
Dig in.
That's fine.
I'm just going to be mad we're not going to milk along with us.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, so we didn't do anything for Sunday. Heather decided she wanted to make a ragu sauce. So I'm like, yeah, sure, let's do that. Yeah. And it turned out really well. We had a bunch of shrimp we had to use up.
Okay.
So we basically made a shrimp linguine with this tomato sauce. Very tasty, very nice. I'm turning around a little bit on the shrimp.
Good for you. That's very big of you.
Yeah. She baked it with a little lemon sauce.
Yeah.
Or a little lemon juice just to kind of brighten it up a little bit. Very good. But yeah, other than that, I did nothing really for Thanksgiving or for Easter, whatever. I didn't do anything for Thanksgiving on Sunday either, so.
I'd be kind of mad.
Went to IKEA, and again, I mentioned this on the Twitter. Tried their Easter soda. Their Swedish Easter soda.
Okay.
Which is apparently, it's a seasonal thing.
Okay.
Now, I've been burned by IKEA soda before. When they trot out the traditional Swedish whatevers.
Okay.
Around Christmas time, they had their Christmas soda.
Okay.
And it was not good. It was fine, but not great.
So tell me, what's in the Easter soda?
Looking at just the ingredients, it looks like any other cola.
Okay.
Okay, I mean, it's simple, you know, like carbonated water, caramel color. They had hops and barley, which is a little weird.
Okay.
But I think what they do, that the hops make sense because that's a preservative, and it's a traditional recipe, and that's why hops were put into beer, because it preserves. It's an antibacterial. But I added a little bit of not a beery flavor, but an interesting. Here's how I would describe Easter soda, and they tricked me. Those dastardly Swedes, they tricked me, because it was the same shit they had at Christmas. Okay. The nearest I can describe it, it's like a cola, but with a very strong caramel flavor to it.
Okay.
With a little bit of berry.
Okay.
Not a cherry, more like a raspberry, probably a lingonberry. It's not tart though. It's berry. I mean, that's the only way I can describe it. It's knowing since it's Sweden, it's probably a lingonberry.
More fresh berry than
berry.
Artificial berry.
Exactly. I couldn't finish it.
That bad.
Because it wasn't as thick as the limoncello, but it was definitely, it had a little bit of a syrupy kind of quality to it. It was just, it was a lot. It was too much.
Yeah.
But,
how good is that, that lingonberry cocktail there?
I've never had it, actually.
It's really good.
Is it?
It's amazing. And you mix a little bit with some Sprite. Oh.
Oh.
I bet like
half
and half.
That would be good.
Yeah, it's really good.
I'm a big fan of buying the dollar soda.
Yeah.
And because you can do a suicide at IKEA because they've got the spigots.
Right.
But what I'll do...
Because you're 14.
Because, yes. 14, fuck. Like 7.
Yeah.
No, it's you always get the same thing. It's $2. I get a hot dog and a soda, and Heather gets a soft serve. Frozen yogurt. It's $2. We even paid with quarters this time. But I got my hot dog. Fine hot dog. But what I'll do is you do about 3-quarter Mountain Dew. You get about 2 good sizable squirts of that lingonberry juice. And then just a dash, just for savoriness, just a dash of the cherry Pepsi. telling you, try it.
You're not. It's not a breakthrough. This is not a breakthrough.
You haven't had it.
I haven't had it, but I will try it now.
You will try it.
I will try it.
But anyway, I promised on our Twitter feed before we go, we had some live brainstorming.
Right.
On the show. Now, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I'm doing a column/article blog thingy for Minneapolis TV, MPLS.tv.
Right.
Last article I did, I talked about the word drinkability.
Yes.
Which I learned an even stupider term.
What's that?
In the comments for that article. Sessionability. As in, I would have another session of this beer.
That's terrible.
It's disgusting.
Oh my God.
Like, I even said in the comments.
I hate the English language because of that.
I even said in the comments, if I ever hear somebody saying that, I'm punching them in the taint. It's just, that's terrible.
It's a karate chop in the throat.
That's horrible. But regardless. But this time, I had this idea. So if you follow local Midwestern food news at all, you'll know that Flava Flav, member of which one was he in?
Public Enemy.
Was he Public
How
Enemy?
Dare you,
I couldn't remember. I thought it was Public
dare
Enemy, but
you,
it was
sir.
Because we were talking about Goody Mob, it confused my brain. I am a suburban white kid from Minnesota. I can only keep one rap group in my brain at a time.
Oh my God.
Regardless.
Fight the power.
Shut up. Yes, Mr. Pink Shirt. You talk about fighting the power.
I knew what rap group it was.
I knew what it was. I had a moment of doubt.
You just lost all your street cred.
I had a ton to deal with. Regardless, Flava Flav opened up speaking of lacking street cred, opened up a fried chicken place in Iowa.
I want you to say Flava Flav like it's supposed to be said.
No, I'm in public.
So why does that stop you from embarrassing yourself before?
No, I have limits.
Oh, that's your limit?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yes, it is. Anyway, so he opened this fried chicken place,
yeah.
Flava Flav's Chicken, which in a brilliant move was across the street from a KFC, which was nice. Shock of shocks, it closed. Closed this week.
You saw the interior pictures of it.
I did.
It's in Clinton, Iowa.
Yes.
Clinton, Iowa could not be more rural. You look at rural in the dictionary, it's Clinton, Iowa's population 900-something. Might even be less than that. But the interior of the restaurant is all done in graffiti. Like, urban... Okay, I'll say ghetto graffiti.
Yeah.
You know, the place...
It really did not have much of a chance.
The place looked like it had been tagged.
On the inside.
Yes. Outside it looked like a Arby's.
Yeah. So, here's what I was thinking. I want to think of what other artists, musical artists, would open a restaurant. And what cuisine they would have.
Right. Now we discussed the gimme.
There's a couple gimmies.
Yeah.
There's a couple gimmies and some I want to go with. I don't want to reveal the whole article now.
We'll go with the most obvious one, meatloaf.
Meatloaf is an obvious one. My contention is that both for logic's reasons and for comedy reasons, you don't go the obvious. I'm thinking more dinner theater.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, or possibly some sort of opera-themed Ed DeBevics kind of clone.
Okay, I'm.
You know what I mean?
I get where you're going with it. I get what you're going with.
Which, that is one of the big casualties in the downturning economy, is restaurants with singing people.
You just don't see them anymore.
You don't see them anymore. Singers are expensive.
Yeah. Now, are you looking for food in the group or
in the band name?
The band
Not
name?
Not necessarily.
Like Cherry Pop and Daddy's or something like that?
You do realize they're not referring to food there.
Or Squirrel Nut Zippers?
Squirrel Nut Zippers actually is a food.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
But you can't base a restaurant.
I know they're not talking about it. But they have cherry in the title.
True. Yeah. True. No, I'm not necessarily going gimmick.
Right. Okay.
On this. I mean, you could maybe do something like that.
Or Warren's Cherry Pie. Nothing?
You know, I've often said that there should be a hair metal themed
pie shop
restaurant.
Yeah.
And then I saw Vince Neil's place in Vegas realized that this is a terrible idea.
It smells like it looks.
Yeah. Smells like herpes. But anyway.
Okay, so what about persons who have already, singers that have already opened their own place?
Well, so give me an example.
Toby Keith's, I love this bar and grill.
No. Stop that.
That was the only one that came to mind.
There's not a lot. I mean, there was no Planet Hollywood for musicians.
No, there really wasn't.
Not that
Hard Rock Cafe.
Yeah, but that wasn't musicians.
Exactly. They didn't invest in it.
Yeah.
By the way,
there might have been
what happened to the Hard Rock Cafe?
There are some still around.
Seriously?
There's one in Block E.
Really?
Yeah. It's one of the few things that's still fucking open in Block E.
Yeah.
But I was going through like the top 40.
Okay.
And you know, granted, top 40 of 1995, where I've actually heard of some of these goddamn things, because I'm old.
You are old.
But I'm just going through.
Well, give me.
Here's a thought.
Yeah.
A Van Morrison.
Yeah.
Like,
food truck.
No, it'd be Billy Joel food truck, and then it'd just constantly be running into things.
Wow. Wow.
If I could remember which one of the guys died in Metallica, I'd have the food truck that's always on its side. But that's a horrible thought. Cliff something, I think.
It is Cliff.
I may have to use that, actually. That might be... I have to have, like, the token horrible.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's terrible.
God.
Oh, something to do with the plane crash. Is militating.
Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah.
You could do a southern plane crash themed restaurant. Here's what you do. I figured it out. You get one of these old private planes.
Like you're talking like a Cessna or something?
Yeah, something like that. Okay. So, if you're all familiar with guy, I think it was Chuck Klosterman, who's a music writer.
Yeah.
He did a book whose name is escaping me right now, but it's basically about doing a tour of famous musicians' grave sites or places where they died.
Okay.
I think it's like Living to Die or something like that. You do a private plane. You cut the wings off.
Yeah.
And you can tow it around like a food truck. But it's all art. It's all dishes themed on artists that died in plane crashes. Jim Croce. Big Bopper. All three of them. Richie Valens.
Yeah, Buddy Holly.
Buddy Holly, you can do that.
Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah, Lynyrd Skynyrd. There's others. John Denver. John Denver.
Yep.
Hey. There's something you can do there. Okay.
It can't be all of them, but
there's got to be other ones. It was a helicopter, but Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, good one. She's an R&B singer. She died in a plane crash.
Oh, Aaliyah?
Yeah.
One of the few black women I ever was really attracted to. And I think God smote her.
That was the kiss of death.
It was.
Way to go. You ruined that for everyone
else.
Yeah,
Rihanna, look out. I'm just saying.
Oh, God.
Although maybe Chris... No, never mind. That was a warning shot. I'm a terrible person. Oh, okay, but more seriously, I mean, think of a place, what I was going to say, a Van Morrison, like, barrio, but for whiskey.
Yeah.
I could see him doing that. And he sounds drunk 90% of the time anyway.
I agree.
I think that could work, actually. It would have to be a place like Vegas.
Like a lounge.
I don't see Van Morrison as a lounge.
Yeah, I do.
You think so?
He's got kind of get this jazzy.
Jazzy-esque
sound to him in most of his hits.
Yeah.
You know.
Neil Young would have a food truck.
You think so? What would he serve?
It'd be like the magic bus.
I think he's too gruff to own his own.
Well, he wouldn't be part of it. No. I mean, he wouldn't be actually serving people.
Right.
No one wants that.
Nobody wants that. I don't want that.
No, God no. But I was thinking of other rappers.
Okay.
You know, we mentioned CeeLo on the way down. Yeah. That'd be a great soul food place.
Yeah. The Beastie Boys Jewish delicatessen.
You know, that could actually work.
Yeah.
And they're getting up there.
Yeah, they really are.
They're putting out a new album.
Yeah.
But that could kind of work.
That's not a bad idea.
That's not, yeah. Well, I'm sure someone has pitched it to them.
I know, but it's not bad for me off the cuff.
No, that's you're very bad. You know,
I'm terrible.
Extemporaneously.
Exactly.
So.
What you said.
Yeah. Trying to think here. Yeah, I've got a couple in mind that I want to think of. The big thing is I want to avoid like one-liners.
But I think you have to have some one-liners.
We'll have a couple, you know, just to get them out of my system.
Well, exactly. Because if you don't, I'll tell you what, if you don't use them, you're going to be like, God, that was good material. I should use that.
Yeah. But then if I do use them, people are like, that sucked.
Yeah. No. Because the ones you've told me so far have been pretty good.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I do like the dead artist.
Oh, yeah.
Toning them around in assessment.
Yeah. If they ever properly legalize drugs, I think they should do like a 27 Club dispensary and grill. Like Jim Morrison.
Wow.
Jim Morrison Lizard King sandwich.
Jimi Hendrix.
It'd have to be something hot. Some flaming something.
Like a Bananas Foster French Toast.
Ooh, Bananas Foster. Nicely done.
Thank you.
I like that.
Yeah.
See, you've got some thoughts.
I do.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I might steal that. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. I'll give you credit on that. I want to make a really horrible Nirvana joke, but...
Mama Cass, it's a pork chop sandwich.
Mama Cass, all you can eat.
That's only on Sundays.
Monday.
You totally need me to write this article. Because I get going, I get them.
The counteract to the Mama Cass, all you can eat special is the Karen Carpenter, nothing you can eat special. Yeah. These are timely references, by the way, too. Wow. A terrible
By the way,
person.
We grew up in the 60s. I don't know. Anybody knew that.
Yes, we did. Anyway.
I like that. The Karen Carpenter, nothing
you can eat special.
There are about five people that got that joke.
Yeah, well. Anyway.
I'm still trying to think of people who did.
Well, we're running out of time.
Okay.
So I've been talking for a lot. What do you think of this place?
I love it. I really did like I did love it. I think it fills the space of Tejas really well. That was a big void that was left here.
Yeah.
Especially in this neighborhood. Because Tejas had been here for so long. It was really a staple.
Yeah. How long have you been here? Like 10, 15 years?
It had been here a long, long time. And I know that the owners are still looking for new space, but probably not in this area.
Yeah. I got to mention that rent here is kind of high.
Extremely high. Extremely high. And this is not a small space.
Yeah.
That being said, it's affordable prices, which is something you're not going to find in this area.
Yeah.
Arezzo is right around the corner. Cucina del Barrio is right around the corner. Salute Bar American is right around the corner. And Edina Grill is also around the corner.
Now, this is a Parasol place, as is Salute.
Right.
Okay.
So they've got a concept that works. You know, making something that's moderate, not out of anybody's price range. I think the most expensive thing on the menu is $15.
16. The shrimp pizza, 16. Yeah.
And that, it feeds two.
Yeah.
You know, that it feeds two. They've got a good wine list. They've got a good beer list. The house-made limoncello was a nice touch. I'd probably do it as an after-dinner drink moving forward. I just wanted to kind of have it.
Yeah.
The mozzarella was fantastic.
It was. I give them a lot of bonus points on that.
And when summer rolls around and they can get some, you know, farm fresh tomatoes, I will be back and we'll be back for the Caprese salad.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Because that will be amazing. They've got a small dessert menu as well.
Mm-hmm.
Some fairly unique cocktails. But it kind of fits a niche that was in a void that was left here. I'll definitely be back. It was very good.
I can't see myself driving back here.
Yeah.
Especially because I've got places like Pizza Nia, which I would compare this to.
Agreed.
I've got places like that are closer. But if I'm in the area, if, you know, there's a spa lawn montage across, you know, just down the way, if I find myself in the need of a facial, I may, you know, have, you know, come in, have a bruschetta, and, you know,
right.
Eat that. I think this place is going to be awesome when it gets warmer out and they get the patio. They've got a good patio space that's not by the road, which is nice.
Right.
I
think it opened up this winter, and don't quote me on that, but I think that it did open up this winter, so I don't think that they've gotten a chance to get a full summer season underneath them.
Yeah.
As far as their patio is concerned, but that is going to be an awesome patio. To keep it off of the street, it would be nice and quiet, very, you know, cafe style. I can see this doing very well for a while.
And yeah, I hope so.
And with the Parasol Restaurant Group, they don't do anything poorly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just, the stuff that they open works. It's a good formula. You know, things are affordable. You know, nothing's really out of the ordinary. There's nothing really on the menu that somebody's going to turn their nose up at and be like, ew, gross, like, weird, like, sake shot with an oyster and a quail egg in it.
Yeah, we got a lot of comments about the oyster shooters.
Yeah. I grossed my entire family out.
As you should.
Yeah. It was pretty awesome.
You're a disgusting person.
I nearly made my grandmother throw up. It was pretty awesome.
Excellent.
Ew, David, why would you put that in your mouth? That's what she said.
Yeah, you heard that a lot in college.
I did. More often than I really shouldn't have to.
Yeah, probably.
Yes, we'll be back. Excellent. I thought it was very good.
Yes. I would, you know, we always have to say, like, why would you come here? Like, if you're doing an event or something like that. What I see for this place, bachelorette parties and girls' night outs, because it's a little bit fancy, but not terrible. It's a little bit fatty, but not terrible.
Right.
So you're indulging a little bit. You've got a lot of kind of very upwardly mobile, woman-oriented stores around here. A lot of boutiques, a lot of spa-lawns, a lot of places like that.
Area.
You know, so I can see, you know, those girl night outs, those bachelorette parties, those, you know, getting together with your sisters, shit like that.
Yeah.
You know,
let's go get facials.
Exactly. I think this could totally do well with that. And it's also, you know, it's a decent date place, you know.
Absolutely.
And,
this actually would work well if you can get, because they do have an open kitchen, to get up closer to the kitchen. It'd be perfect for a first date.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just loud enough that you can still carry on a conversation, and it's lively enough that you don't feel like it's overly romantic.
Exactly. And if the conversation's flagging, there's shit going on.
Exactly. There's a lot of shit going on.
Yeah, so... So anyway, highly recommended, Mozzamia. On that note, I do want to thank our sponsors, HopChart.com. I do want to mention really quick that starting today, as we record this, starting this week, we have now started the Fancy Pants Gangsters email newsletter. I'm calling it Pants Digest. It's a weekly thing. It'll be coming out Monday mornings.
That's exciting.
It's got a couple episode summaries from the past week. We've got some sponsors that we're going to be highlighting, some fans of the month we're going to be doing stuff with, possible store specials. Got a lot of things planned for it. If you want to sign up for it, if you just go to the website, fancymansgangsters.com, there's a big block on the right-hand side that says Pants in Your Email. Click on that. That will give you the instructions on how to sign up. If it doesn't work for whatever reason or you have an issue, email me, evan@facebookgangsters.com, and we'll figure it out. Also, speaking of online stuff, we want you to follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/wellfedguidefpg, Facebook at facebook.com/wellfedguidetolife, Foursquare, foursquare.com/wellfedguidetolife as well. And all of those links are in our show notes as well. Stay tuned in the next couple weeks. Sounds like we're going to be getting a new opening theme for Wellfed Guide to Life. Very exciting.
Oh, boy.
But I don't want to say too much about that quite yet because it's not solid yet.
I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, no problem. I was just thinking of it just now. So, I guess unless you got anything else to say.
I'm just happy to be here.
Do want to pitch real quick. In 2 weeks, we're going to have people on from Minnesota Craft Beer Week, which is coming up May 13th through the 22nd. I might be goofy on dates, but I know it ends on the 22nd.
Okay.
But we're going to have them on in 2 weeks. It'll be the May 8th or May 9th show. We'll have them on to talk about the that particular...
Close enough.
That particular event should be a good time. Our buddies, the Four Firkins, they're doing some stuff. A bunch of the places we've been to already. We'll probably do something similar to what we did for Restaurant Week, where we say, here's all the places that are doing stuff, here's our shows, check these out, and yada, yada, yada. All right, I think that's enough pimping for now. Thank you guys very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.